We got to talk about the Oklahoma Sooners, right?
Well, they're playing really well, and they're in the catbird seat now because of their win on Friday over Texas A&M, and then their win on win last night over Notre Dame. Sooners are in a prime position. They don't have to play until Wednesday, and they have a mulligan. If they lose Wednesday, they get another shot Thursday to move on to the championship series. So Sooners beat Notre Dame last night. They get a really good performance from Cade Horton, Norman High School native, or Norman High School graduate or whatever, Norman native, on the bump last night. Really happy for him, Craig. We've talked a lot about him, about how he had Tommy John surgery a few weeks, maybe a month before the 2021 season, and missed the entire 2021 season for Oklahoma. And Sooners could have used him. I mean, they were, 27 and 28 last year. Anyway, so this year starts off the year playing third base and pretty much an everyday fixture in the lineup. And as he kind of builds his arm back up to be able to pitch, started out, giving him an inning here and there out of the pen. And eventually, after the Oklahoma State series, works his way back into the rotation. And again, they kind of bring him along slowly. I mean, Skip Johnson knows what he's doing. So they kind of work him back in and build him up. And his last three starts have been tremendous. I mean, he's a guy that can throw really hard. I thought it was interesting how he's added the slider.
The slider guys cannot get it, Matt.
No.
I mean, he looks like Greg Maddux out there, which he throws. He's capable of throwing. I mean, he throws, 93, 95, whatever. I mean, He's got a fastball, but man, this slider, I think, is the go-to pitch, right?
Well, his breaking stuff has gotten a lot better. When he first started pitching this year, he was leaving his curveball up, it seemed like, at times, and he was kind of falling behind in some counts, but he's been tremendous. I thought it was the right move to go to him last night. We kind of knew for sure that he would get the start last night when the Sooners on Friday afternoon put their number two starter in relief on Friday afternoon's game against Texas A&M, David Sandlin. I'm sure that Sandlin will get the ball on Wednesday, but kind of had a feeling that and Horton has been pitching better than Sandlin recently. Nothing against him. He's been pitching better.
Well, you talked about it last week. I mean,
yeah,
that's really what they should do.
It just made sense to do that. And it wasn't like, moving Horton up in the rotation, it wasn't like they were pitching him on short rest or whatever. I mean, the last time he pitched was last Sunday. So it was a normal, week's rest, what these guys are used to that start games on the weekend. So, they got some timely offense last night. Could have had more if not for some base running mistakes. I know you and I were going back and forth on that.
this third base, I mean, it was a weird play, Matt, where the guy is dead to rights. I mean, and again, you should never make the first out or the third out of an inning.
And
third base.
Same inning, yeah.
But where the guy's dead to rights and the third baseman puts the tag on and the runner knocks the ball out of his hands and it ricochets.
Doesn't
know that he knocked the ball out of the hand, but it ricochets off the third base coach. But the guy that did know it was the third base coach. And he's, he kind of turns his back to the play. Got hit by the ball,
yeah.
And turns and starts walking down the left field line with his back, with his face toward the left field foul pole. To me, his job is to be yelling at that runner to get on the bag.
Get on the bag, yeah. Well,
He was looked like he was concerned with his well-being at that time.
Yeah, and maybe you blame Spikerman a little bit there. You need to be on the bag there anyway. But yeah, I know the Sooners were able to overcome that. They had a couple of other this kid named Sebastian Orduño who's been filling in or who is filling in now for Brett Squires. That was a tough thing on Friday. The Sooners DH that took a fastball off his hand, broke his hand. He's out for the rest of the year. This Orduño hits one, and it hits chalk down the left field line, and Big 12 umpire Chris Koski, your favorite and mine, he apparently doesn't see the chalk fly, rules that a foul ball. So between the base running gaffes and, maybe a bad break here or there, the Sooners are able to overcome all that. And Tanner Treadaway is just on fire. He's hitting everything in sight. I thought the Sooners really helped themselves out with a couple of really good several really good defensive plays. They had double plays both in the eighth and the ninth inning, and Treadaway ended the eighth with a diving catch in center field. So that's one area that this team has gotten better and is playing better, Craig. This team is playing a lot better defensively than what they have all year, and you can't undersell that. You know, in a game that we spend so much time looking at ERA and batting average and home runs and all this sort of thing, you know, how well you're playing defensively, it makes a big difference. And that's another thing Oklahoma's doing a lot better job of.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Yeah, no question about it, but Cade Horton, man, love that guy. Career high, 11 strikeouts, six innings. They came out, you know, with what, two down in the six, and thought about taking him out, and then left him in there, and he gets a strikeout on a 2-2 count. So struck out five of the first 11 batters that he faced in the game last night. But like you said, Matt, just timely hitting up and down the lineup. That Tanner Treadaway, I mean, two RBIs, scores two runs, 3-for-4. Clark had two RBIs and one run. He went 1-for-3. Jackson Nicklaus. I mean, and Nicklaus, and let's go back to Friday. Yeah, with the A&M game, OU 13-8 win over A&M on Friday, and A&M came in. I mean, before the tournament started, I mean, they're ranked number five seed, right, Matt?
Yes, that's right. And I thought both wins for Oklahoma this weekend shows the versatility of what they have offensively. You know, they have the three-run home run, and they already scored a few runs, but they have the three-run home run from Jimmy Cooks and the grand slam from Jackson Nicklaus that provided, you know, two home runs, provide seven of their 13 runs on Friday. And then, you know, last night it was more, you know, station to station, you know, a bunch of, you know, base hits. And, you know, this team can really run. excuse me. I know that as they play better competition, you're not going to be able to steal as many bases, maybe as when you're playing other teams that aren't as good or, you know, don't have as good a catcher or whatever. But this team can, offensively, they can hurt you in a number of ways. And, again, this team just has a lot of really good stories. We mentioned Treadaway. I mean, that's a kid that, if I remember correctly, last year missed a good chunk of the final portion of the season. And I think it was because, if I remember right, it's because he got hit in the face with a ball. I don't think he ever came back. He may have came back late. I don't remember. But, I mean, you know, to see what he's doing his final year, he's just tearing the cover off the ball. We mentioned Horton coming off Tommy John surgery. You know, really feel happy for him. And even though this is only his second year out of high school, he is draft eligible, and I believe that's because he's 21 years of age. I believe, you know, you have to be, if you go D1 out of high school, in order to go into the draft, you have to be 3 years removed from high school, or I think if you're 21, you can be draft eligible. And so he's a guy that I hope Sooner fans have enjoyed him, because I don't know if he'll be back. I would seriously doubt that, but feel really good for him coming off the Tommy John. Because even nowadays, Craig, even though, you know, with all the advancements in technology and medicine, coming off Tommy John, you just never know. You know, you just you never know, and so you feel really good for him. And boy, he's you know, it's almost like a midseason acquisition, you know, like in baseball, like when you go out and trade for a really good starting pitcher. That's kind of what he's been for this team.
Well, I mean, it's amazing. Like we said, Friday against Texas, and they're coming off winning the Big 12 tournament title in Arlington. You win the Gainesville Regional. You win the Super Regional in Blacksburg. Now you're in the College World Series facing a good team in Texas A&M. And just boom, right off the bat, I mean, a two-run single by Blake Robertson, RBI single by Treadaway. All of a sudden, it's 5-0. Then you got Crooks with the three-run homer, and they're just rolling. And then you get the grand slam in the top of the third inning with Jackson Nicklaus to right field. The grand slam, you got Jake Bennett on the mound. What, Bennett gave up four runs in six innings against Texas A&M. Did give up a three-run homer to Jordan Thompson to cut the deficit to 8-3. But OU was just, I mean, they were just in control from the start. You got Trevin Michael that's coming in, the grad transfer.
From Lamar, right?
That's right. And he did another nice job, you know, in the game last night. So, Matt, I mean, it just appears to all be working. In that game yesterday, we didn't mention Peyton Graham, 4-for-4 with two steals, the first player to record four hits and two steals in a College World Series game since
Barry Bonds.
Back in 1984.
Now, look.
Barry Bonds.
I realize that Barry Bonds is a lightning rod, but if you start doing things that haven't been done since Barry Bonds did them, whether it's in the college game or the professional game, you've accomplished something.
That's pretty darn good. So, like I said, my only complaint yesterday was the third base coach, which I don't know. I would assume he was waving the first hitter that hit it down the left field line. I mean, it's a double down the left field line. Normally, you're not going to stretch that into a triple and the relay throw.
You talk about Orduña, and I see Orduña was watching it all the way.
The play's right in front of him. But you just can't, you know, again, you're on second base with no outs. You're in scoring position. You don't have to try to stretch that into a triple.
I'm
just saying third base coach should be just saying, stop, put the brakes on, buddy.
Yeah. And then that
crazy play that we talked about where they drop the tag and it hits the third base coach and the runner should be on the bag. Yes, he ought to be on the bag if he doesn't know where the ball is, just in case. You got nothing to lose. And that play, but still, no, this team is on a definite road. And like you said, Matt, now they got a couple of days off. Don't play until Wednesday night. They got the mulligan if they don't win Wednesday night. But unless they lose the next two games, they're going to be in the championship series.
They will, and I think it's really important that they have won these first two games. You always want to do that. I mean, it goes without saying it's an advantage. Not that you can't, you know, win the first two and then get beat out. That happened to Oklahoma State 6 years ago. The Cowboys won their first two in Omaha and then wasn't able to get to the championship series. So it can happen. I will say this for this Oklahoma team. I think it's a really good thing, especially for them, because they've used Trevin Michael, their closer, a lot. He threw over 40 pitches on Friday. I think he threw in the 30s last night. And he's been stretched out. You know, he's not just a one-inning guy. I mean, he can go longer than that. But I'm just saying that I all the rest you can possibly get him. And I thought it was smart last night for Johnson to try somebody in the seventh. Peterson talked about this on the broadcast last night. You know, the other announcers are like, why are they going to Jared Godman, a guy that hasn't pitched in weeks, hadn't pitched in the postseason. And Peterson said it best. He said, I think Skip's trying to steal three outs, and he was able to. And I felt good for him. The Godman kid, Craig, he started off the year as the closer, and the first couple of weeks pitched pretty well, had like three saves or whatever. It's just he started to struggle, and they made a switch, put Michael in there. So I'm just saying the fact that they don't have to play until Wednesday will allow Michael to be able to maybe take some stress off that arm. So that's
that's great.
It's all in front of them. It's right there. The job is far from done, but it's all right there for them. They're in the catbird seat.
Yeah, Michael only had to get the last six outs. Still six outs, but still now has 2 days off. And so today, Matt, you got Auburn-Stanford at 1 o'clock on ESPN?
Elimination game.
Is that one Eastern or one our time?
1 o'clock our time, I believe.
Yeah, our time, okay.
Yeah.
And then Ole Miss-Arkansas is a 6 o'clock game our time on ESPN. Those are the two games today. Texas has gone home.
Right.
Notre Dame beat them Friday 7-3. A&M beat them yesterday 10-2. And then the other games, the Saturday games, you had Arkansas just roll Stanford 17-2. and Ole Miss shut down Auburn 5-1, right?
Well, so. And that's one of the stories of what's going on up there, and really throughout this entire tournament, is out of the eight teams in Omaha, only four were top 16 national seeds, and each one of those top 16 national seeds lost in the first game in Omaha. So it just goes to show you that, you know, yes, you want to be as high a seed as you can possibly be. Yes, you would love to be able to host a regional and host a super regional if you win that region. But it's much more important to be playing better. It's much more important to get the right matchup or whatever. There's just because you're not a top 16 seed, that's not a death sentence in this tournament. This tournament's proven that.
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show.
Comedian John Crist.
How long have you been in Nashville?
Let's see, 2018 is when I moved here. I lived in an apartment. I didn't know anything about it. I lived in L.A.
You were living in L.A.? How was that?
Yeah. Let's see. Good for my career. Send me to rehab, though. So that's pretty much the sum of it.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.